to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am Kayla, and I'm here with...
Noah. Kayla, what do you put in a jar and shake till they're dead?
I don't know what.
Fireflies!
That was good.
Yep. Thank you.
So if that doesn't give you a hint as to what we're talking about,
I feel like it probably wouldn't. Like it's not very. I don't know if it's a very iconic quote. It is to me. Wow.
Wow.
How are you?
You know, doing pretty well. I think I got not. You know when like you're out in the sun and you got a good amount of sun, but you're not sunburnt, but you're like close. Like, on the verge of sunburn, that's how my day went. So...
Sun-seared?
Not sun even medium, quite that.
Medium,
it's like,
rare?
Yeah, lightly toasted.
Lightly toasted. On the toaster, it'd be like a 3 on a 5
Yeah, maybe
out of a
even
five
just
scale.
A 2.5, a 2.
Yep, nice.
You know, it's been 90 degrees... Recently here, the cicadas are buzzing. They're making their hums. Let's see, what else is new? Nothing. That's pretty much it.
It's pretty hot here, too, which is surprising. It's usually not this hot here.
That
early,
is called
but, you know, global warming,
change.
Baby. It's pretty hot in here, too. Like, always fun for the podcasting aficionados and the audio people out there. Everyone knows, you know, summer's... the worst time because you can't have fans running when you record. And so you're just very hot all the time. But we're going to push through it and we're starting a new series because that's what we do here. We don't hone our crafts. We just start series and we'll just keep doing series until we die, I think.
or until the podcast dies.
Either one. What's the name of this new series that we're doing and what's kind of the purpose behind it?
So this is our new series, Childhood Classics, where we open up the vault and whip out a childhood movie. Pretty much it's just so we can have the excuse to talk about silly movies we liked as kids. Mm-hmm. So just so we're clear, this isn't necessarily, I mean, it is the best movies made ever.
Right.
But there are more movies that we really liked that are like, I guess on the sillier side. So it's not like we're talking about Aladdin or Mulan or...
Right.
You know, something like that.
Those would be maybe other people's childhood classics, but these are specifically ours. So think more like early, mid-2000s.
Yeah.
Most likely will be the time. I mean, we'll probably have some older ones too, you know?
Very akin to the movie we're talking about today, which is The Pacifier from 2005.
Yeah, this is like
so
the
that
quintessential
gives you
one.
Any idea of what the vibes will be for this series that we'll occasionally do, it is this movie.
This is like the perfect first one for us to have picked.
I don't think
there was a more perfect choice.
And it seems like this movie was iconic for both of us. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Because I don't know that we've ever talked about this movie, but as we've texted about doing this movie, we both have been like, oh my gosh, I remember everything about this movie. I remember the lines. I remember all of it.
Yeah, it's such a random one to have that be a thing with too, because... there's no one else that I really knew, like, even watched this movie. Like, it wasn't something, like, people talked about. It was like, oh, man, have you seen The Pacifier? Vin Diesel. What a film. The last time, like, I heard about it was, I know that the Karstcast podcast, they did an episode on it, like, a couple years ago. And that was just, like, a surprise for me because it was the first time I'd even kind of thought about the movie in, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
So it was just one of those that was just, for me, was a big deal, but I never realized, like, other people watched it too. Maybe they didn't. Maybe it was just us and literally no one else, but who knows.
So this iconic, legendary masterpiece Criterion when was directed by Adam Shankman, who has the most diverse repertoire of films. He directed Bedtime Stories, which I was a big fan of.
Yeah, I wasn't like a big, I think I saw it a couple times. I was a big fan.
Big fan.
Maybe we'll do that one.
It's in the list. Maybe this guy will have
will be a recurring director for us, maybe.
Hairspray, Cheaper by the Dozen 2.
Yes.
Which is equally iconic. A Walk to Remember, which is like totally left field. But that was one I also watched a ton. The Wedding Planner, which, spoiler alert, I have serious problems with that movie. I'm normally a big rom-com fan, but that one, it is too problematic. And then he's the director of the upcoming Disenchanted, which I believe is a sequel to Enchanted.
Yeah.
And he is producing the upcoming, newly announced Hocus Pocus 2.
Adam is just getting the jobs here.
I mean, here's the thing. All of these movies that he's done, there were a few other ones. These are kind of his big ones or ones that I've seen.
The highlight reel.
I mean, like, these were all pretty popular movies for their time in different demographics, of course. But I watched all of these movies growing up. So you could say that this man shaped my childhood.
He raised you.
He did.
A new series, it's actually going to be called Shankman Classics.
I mean, really, we could knock out Bedtime Stories, Hairspray, and Cheaper by the Dozen 2 in different episodes. So, you know, Adam Shankman triple feature coming up.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you.
Come on the pod when. Let's.
A lot of people don't agree with us on this movie, it seems, though. It has a 21% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 2.4 on Letterboxd, which isn't as bad as the 21%.
Yeah, I can see the 2.4.
Yeah.
Definitely is that kind of movie. 21% is low. I mean,
it's
like,
a little low for me.
For the iconic line, the best line in the whole movie deserves at least a 73.
What's
for
the best
film,
line?
Is he walks like Dracula with footsteps silent like death. But really, she says it. She's like, he walks like Dracula with footsteps silent like death. A great line. It is so
good. There are some good lines. There are some both ironic and unironic great line readings.
I mean, how do you give a movie that says skanky cookies in it a 21%?
How do you expect us to sell our raffle tickets when you are over here with your skanky cookies? Those kids.
Or when the boyfriend, Scott, he's like, he says to Vin Diesel, who's ripped, he's like, yo, fool. I was like, I would not want to call Vin Diesel a fool. I'd get my face slapped.
Drop down and give me 20.
Yeah, so why don't we jump into a synopsis of this film? I'll go ahead and read this. I wrote this up.
Wow.
It's been a while since I've written us a synopsis.
A triumphant return.
But I felt that it was the right time. So here we go. Shane Wolfe, Mr. Macho from the U.S. Navy, is on a secret mission to rescue Howard Plummer, which is almost successful until they are attacked by mysterious gunmen and Mr. Plummer dies. Bum ba da dum bum.
Ah.
Tragic. After spending 2 months in the hospital, Lieutenant Wolf is recruited to protect, aka babysit, the 5 Plummer kids in search for Mr. Plummer's brainchild, Ghost, while Mrs. Plummer travels to retrieve the contents of a safety deposit box. Can Lieutenant Wolf achieve the mission of his lifetime, recovering Ghost before the secret ninjas who keep breaking into the house, while also managing the schedules of 5 children, including a Nazi theater kid, and win over the school's principal?
Oh my goodness.
There's so much going on in this. Like, I want to know what went into coming up with this plot.
That was the thing. Watching this, like, the first 15 minutes is so wild. Like, the setup, when you realize, like, this is about this, like, military project that can stop nuclear launch codes, which I never understood. Like, I never knew what Ghost was. Like, even when I was watching this when I was like 13, like, I didn't care. The bad guys want it, and Vin Diesel doesn't want them to get it or whatever. But it's a pretty wild, there's a pretty wild stuff going on in here.
And you know,
and you've got
so
like the dad dying right in the beginning.
Great about, not that, gosh, that was not great.
That was
it
sad.
Just sounded like I was saying.
You know what's so great about him dying?
Is there's a lot of things that you miss as a kid, and one of those things was he thought that he found Ghost, which is this program that this guy created on a movie, and then it's the movie Ghost. Like, it's not like he found a disc that says Ghost and he's like, I think I found it, and then it's the movie Ghost, and you're like, no kid is gonna know what Ghost is. But now I'm like, wow, that was nice.
Wow, Adam really knew what he was doing. He was planting those seeds for us. I there's a lot of stuff, like, I mean, it was weird. I don't know if I really ever had like a huge handle on what the story was. Like, I knew basically the basic premise, but it was it's always interesting rewatching these and kind of like piecing together the different scenes you remember and like, okay, I guess this is how this scene fit in, especially this one, because it's a lot of like separate stories, especially when he's with the kids. And I didn't really quite remember exactly how it all fit in, so I didn't know exactly where like the theater plot line came in, and I didn't know exactly when they were gonna have the fight on the mat. Just a lot of different scenes that I remembered, but it's just interesting watching it and then kind of like piecing it all back together, like, all right, okay, this is when this scene comes and this is how this works in. It was definitely an interesting experience going back to it.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot of good stuff. A lot of questionable stuff. Basically, like, what would you, did you enjoy it watching it again?
I did.
You know? Did you you have fun time?
I don't think I would have enjoyed it as much if I didn't love it so much as a kid.
Yeah,
I think
that's true.
I probably am still the kind of person though that like I can get down with these kind of movies still. But I don't know that I would have. I think I would have. I definitely would not have liked it as much. That's the conclusion. There's a lot that's like, ooh, yikes. But I loved it so much as a kid that the whole time I was watching it, and it's pretty short, it's only like 90 minutes, I just was like,
really,
oh, I love this scene. Oh, I remember loving this scene as a kid, and just really being able to soak in the nostalgia of it all.
What's really funny is watching these movies and realizing how young the kids are. Because you remember watching it and thinking like the two older kids are so old, and then they have like the party at the house, you're like, wow, they're all really cool and very old. And now you're watching it like, wow, this party looks not very fun.
I remember, so when I would have watched this, I would have been around the age of the girl in it. And I remember thinking she was really cool. And being like, oh man, I want to like learn karate like she does. Like, look at her, like, power to women. And so I just like watching that now, that was a fun moment to hold.
Yeah, it's fun watching it. And then like, so you see the one you could have related to, and then you kind of can see it from a new perspective on your different age, with probably more like the adult role in mind, or like how the heck he's supposed to rein in these four kids, which they're pretty reckless in some
scenes. They're crazy. I like, I love the little boy, not the baby, Peter. I think he's so
Peter
funny
because
like he doesn't talk at all, and he just like does all these, you know, things, like gets lost in the ball pit and stuff like that. And that's just so funny to me. I was gonna say, according to Zach, my brother, he thinks that we saw this in theaters when it came out, which I don't really remember. There are fewer movies that I remember seeing in theaters at that age. One being Finding Nemo a few years earlier. Another being Piglet's Big Movie is one I remember.
I think
And Princess Diaries 2 are some that are like...
Wow, what a group of films.
In my brain. This is not one of those. Oh, and Madagascar. But this is not one of those films. So,
well, you could have helped it reach number one at the box office in its opening weekend, because this movie, which would never happen today, this would never be even close to number one. This would be a, like, if anything, direct to Disney Plus. I just don't think this is kind of the kind of movie that is really popular.
Yeah, so here's my comparison to this. So this movie made $30.6 million opening weekend and then grossed a total of $198.6 million.
Right, which I don't think is adjusted. So
with
I'm
a budget
sure a
of
more.
$56 million. So today, the movie that came to mind of the equivalent to this movie was Playing with Fire, which came out in 2019.
That movie is so much worse than this.
I did not see. But it's basically these firefighters end up babysitting these kids that they rescue.
It's very similar.
And
yeah.
So there's kind of a similar structure, storyline, probably similar humor, I would guess. maybe, I don't know.
It's, I mean, it's fun. Yeah, it's something else.
But we also have a guy like a macho man who's not really great at acting, playing the lead role. But that one only made $69 million total in the box office.
Oh, man.
And had a almost $30 million budget. So,
yeah, and I don't know if John Cena is as big of a pull as Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel in 2005. But even so, like, I mean, it had Lauren Graham, so it has a couple, like, bigger names. But it still doesn't seem like this kind of movie isn't really what gets made anymore.
Yeah, unless it's, like, a straight-to-streaming kind of Netflix-type jig.
Netflix, yeah.
Which is, you know, kind of disappointing, but I feel like it also makes these kind of movies a relic of their time. Because I can think of a lot of similar movies that would be in the same vein.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so there was Jackie Chan was originally attached to this film, which is pretty easy to imagine. I mean, then they had The Spy Next Door
movie. Yeah, I was about to say that one.
Which was basically very similar. And then they also had...
There were also a lot of movies that came out right at this time that were like a dad with kids. Or man with kids.
Like Game Plan.
I was going to say Game Plan.
Tooth Fairy.
Imagine that. Like for some reason in 2005 to like 2010, they were like, let's put macho men with young children.
Right. Yeah. It's,
Didn't one also just come out recently? The one with the spy guy with Dave.
What was that called? I watched My Spy.
I saw the trailer like 25 times in theaters.
I actually do remember watching that and being like, this feels like Pacifier, like a movie that would have come out at that time.
Yeah.
It feels very similar to that, which is maybe why I liked it probably a little more than most. Like, I still gave it like a 2 out of 5. But it was still just, it was like a little bit of a throwback because I was like, this kind of reminds me of the good old days when all that you needed in a movie was a duck biting someone's ear, I guess.
That is so true. No, it's so true. I remember loving all the duck bits as a kid.
Yeah, apparently the duck was originally in because Jackie Chan, when he was attached, was going to like have a bit where he was going to cook it for dinner. But then the kids didn't want him to cook it for dinner, so they kept it as a pet. And then apparently the duck just stayed in the script even when he left. And they just kept the duck. So it's a little interesting. I think it was a good keep, you know? It helps it stand out, especially when you have Vin Diesel by the pool with a duck. Sometimes that is just all you need.
I love that they just have a duck. Like, that's so funny to me.
Right. And it's, like, mentioned once. Like, oh, yeah, it was his duck. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, it was just his duck. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the opening, which I always thought was fun. I love when he goes on the boat and then he does like a roll for no reason. Like he just rolls on the ground. He's like, I'm here. And he goes down and gets him out. Then the dad gets shot. And that was one thing I was wondering. He opens his briefcase. Does he only have the picture in the briefcase or is there something else in the briefcase?
I have no idea.
Was he like opening the briefcase? The whole password was for the picture?
I don't know.
But yeah, he gets shot.
Loose end that never got tied up. Which that scene is so like dramatic, but not because he kind of he gets killed. He gets murdered. And Vin Diesel's kind of just like, oof, And then, like, leans up against the airplane wall. Like, he was just shot in the chest, and then he's just like, oof. And you're like, huh.
Also, how didn't he die? How did Vin Diesel not die? Because he was the only one. How'd they rescue him?
I don't know.
He's Vin Diesel, you know? He made it out.
I don't know.
2 month recovery, and then they have the exposition dump in the hospital, of course.
Oh.
With the father, you know, setting up the whole father thing. Lots of propaganda throughout
the whole movie.
The whole movie.
Especially when they're like, what do? I don't know, find a cop. I was like, oh my God.
She speeds by them.
No 14-year-old today would ever say that.
Yeah, definitely not.
Gen Z.
Come on,
never.
They don't know what to do. And then I love too, I mean, we're just jumping all around, but at the end when they show up with like 6 guns and then one guy comes and he's like, put down all your guns. They're like, oh, okay, sure. I'm like, you guys have them outnumbered 6-1. Very interesting. But yeah, and then it just kind of jumps into it with the main bit, which is just Vin Diesel trying to, you know, raise kids, I guess. Mm-hmm. One thing I was always confused about was how long he was there.
Yeah, I think it was like a couple weeks because it was going to be 48 hours and then it was a few more days. And then there was the scene where they finally guessed the password, like the mom and the bad guy. And the guy was like, oh, or something like, we've only been here 2 weeks or something.
So
I was like, oh, there's our time frame.
Also, what were they doing that whole time? Just like chilling, you know? Like, I wonder what the password could be. Who knows?
One thing I was going to say in reference to the cops that I noticed today when I was skimming through the cast list is that the cops are labeled as cute cop and cute cop's partner.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dare we say we stan the cute cop and cute cop partner.
Uh-huh.
Really breaking barriers.
Yes, quite.
But there was more than two. Maybe they're talking about something else.
Well, those are probably just the speaking cops.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's funny that they're named that.
Yeah, cute cop and cute cop.
That's really our dynamic, I feel like.
Cute cop and cute cop's partner. I don't want to be a cop. Can we be like cute ninja and cute ninja's partner?
Speaking of ninjas, let's play a game that I'm sure we'll play on every episode of this podcast, of this series. Which is, was it racist?
Yes.
Which this movie is passes that test with flying colors in the bad way.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, obviously, originally, Jackie Chan was attached. The people who played the next door neighbors, the Chuns, I believe was their name. They are actual, like, stunt people in Jackie Chan's team, I think. His stunt team. But that obviously does not excuse the roles.
Yeah, it doesn't really translate when he's not in the movie.
Yeah.
Because it just feels very out of place.
Yeah, and then there's like the whole line where he's like, North Korea pays better, when he's like, how could you betray your country? And it was like, yikes.
Well, and also just the fact that they're literally the only two people of color in the movie, and they're the main villains.
Yeah.
Like, literally no one else. I looked. I was like, no, there's got to be one other speaking part. I mean, I guess, I think maybe
one of the girls. I was going to say
troops.
Maybe one of the Boy Scouts as well. But that doesn't really count because, like, those were just very,
they don't have names.
They don't
either.
Have names.
Yeah. The only two named characters.
Yeah, it's very problematic. They also, you know, fell into a lot of stereotypes as well in the things that they said, the way that, you know, they spoke, which is very common for 2000s.
It definitely feels very 2005.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, definitely
brings
it down a bit.
There's a lot of other kind of problematic
things. You mean, do you want to get into the Nazi stuff?
I mean, we might as well. We're already here.
I have so many questions.
Yeah, so basically, for those of you who have not seen this movie or need a refresher, the 14-year-old in the family is kind of a bad boy. He's been sneaking out of the house.
He's like the most tame bad boy in the world.
He's been skipping wrestling practice, blah, blah, blah. It follows him, or Lieutenant Wolf follows him one day.
Wait, let's start from when they call him into the principal's office.
Okay.
And they're like, we have an issue. And he's like, okay, let me see what the issue is. And they pull out an armband with a swastika. And they're like, this is what we found in his locker. And Vin Diesel was like, oh, well, I'm sure it's nothing. And they're like, well, I guess it's just fine. And then they just let the kid go to class. Like, we're not going
to
have...
And he's just like, I'll get to the bottom of this. But
he's
I'll
figure this one out, kids. Like you said, he follows him to Went, which is actually a production of Sound of Music that they're doing, which obviously has Nazis in it.
And he's playing Rolf. Is that right. His name? Yeah, Rolf.
I haven't seen that movie in a bit, but I'm pretty sure you're correct. Which, one, it feels a little bit, like, weird in a kid's movie. To have it be, like, a 10-minute, like, question, like, wait, is this kid a Nazi? But also, why is, one, he keeping just this swastika, like, in his locker? Just like, oh, I'll just throw it in here, no big deal. And then you also have people, like, standing in the alleys with it around their... around their arm, yeah. Just like casually, like, it's all good, guys, don't worry, they'll know that we're in a play, obviously.
Yeah, it's, there's a lot of like, why did that happen? I can picture someone being like, oh, this would be so funny, like, haha, jokes on the audience,
guys.
But
let's trick the audience into thinking that one of the main characters is a Nazi for just a quick second. It'll be a real funny bit.
I have one question. I don't know if you caught this. So the vice principal, Murney, he's kind of one of the antagonists of the film. And he basically picks on this kid all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Wolf is like, I'm gonna beat you up. Let's go. Let's fight. Because Murney had been like, I'll fight you any day, any time, blah, blah, blah. And yeah. So these kids pass these flyers around that are like, Murney's getting his butt kicked, 3:00. And so Shane, you know, kicks his butt. And yep. After Murney's infamous nipple pincher. And then there's this kid in the crowd that's holding up a sign that says John 3:16. Like, just the reference.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I was like, why? Like,
I do know that's a... I don't... know why the reason is, but what the reason is, but I know that that's a big thing at sporting events or like wrestling events, is to hold John 3:16 on signs. I think it was like just a reference to that, because I know it is a big thing.
Yeah, I know. I don't, it was like Tim Tebow did it.
No, I don't think it's a Tim Tebow
thing. Well, I know it's
thing.
Not a Tim Tebow thing.
Tim Tebow
this
saw the pacifier
and
was like, this
time.
Is my thing now. No,
but like,
I do know it is a thing. I just don't know. I don't know what the reason is. I think it's like, well, because...
people might Google it.
I think you are correct. So it looks like, I mean, not Tim Tebow, but it was started in 1970s when, I'm reading from thebostonglobe.com. When born-again Christians started holding John 3:16 signs at stadiums as a way to spread the gospel. This is a professor of evangelism at Boston University School of Theology said that. Which I guess, so it's like probably when they started putting sports events on TV.
Gotcha.
That was like a big thing.
So I guess this was just like a nod to that?
Yeah, I guess, because it's like a thing.
Okay.
Which is interesting because
it's
like, guys,
let's
spread the word about the most popular book of all time with the most popular verse that like the most people in the world
have heard at some point.
Yes.
At least.
Guys, let's spread the word. It was interesting. I mean, it was weird to see it just because like I knew it was a thing, but it was just a weird, like, why are they referencing this? I do. It was interesting. Also on that wrestling scene, it was a bit weird because I feel like one of the themes they were trying to do with the story of what was Seth his name, with like the whole wrestling thing was like, you don't need to be like this big
manly
like
manly
guy that's gonna beat up people to prove yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed that by having Vin Diesel beat him up in front of the crowd. Well, it, I mean, it's cool. Yeah. The scene is fun. It just felt weird. It was like, I feel like this isn't really what the movie is trying to say. I think they just wanted to have an excuse for Vin Diesel to be like cool.
Which, you know, sometimes. Because I think they do a good job, like, of, you know, Vin Diesel being like, well, if you want to do theater and that makes you happy, like, good for you.
Yeah, even though he's like,
let's commit to that.
So bad. He's like the worst. And then he's like, from what I can see, you're pretty good. I'm like, Vin, don't take his advice. Yeah, well,
Vin Diesel's also a terrible actor. So what does he know? He delivers every line like, from what I see, you're pretty good. And it's like...
I don't know a lot about this stuff, but I definitely know a lot about giving up.
Yeah, so I feel like that's fine. It's just, like, obviously it's a comedy movie, so it's hard to find that balance and really get those themes across. But, yeah.
I do think the Sound of Music thing is good, though.
No, I think that was, I think that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a fun twist. I always thought it was so funny when Murnie came out as the nun.
Yes, like, that was my highlight.
I just remember as a kid thinking that was the funniest thing in the world.
Yes.
There's so many lines in this that I was like, when I was watching it now, I was like, oh my gosh, I remember thinking that was so funny. And now I'm like, obviously it's not as funny to me now.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I thought it was hilarious. Like,
what are some of those lines? Yeah.
Well, the one where she's like, do you have to wear a bra? Like, yeah, I thought that was the funniest. Him in the sewer when he goes and he's covered in poo and comes into the house and they're all just like, you smell.
I gotta say, one line I always thought was the funniest line, it's still the funniest line, is every line spoken by that guy with braces at the...
Who's
Chuck
in
Cheese
the Sound
knockoff.
Of Music at the end? Did you notice that he's in it?
That guy is the best. That scene is so funny. I love that scene.
Yeah, where he comes back and has to fish the diaper out of the ball pit.
Whoa, whoa. Not cool.
So one thing I was gonna say, what year did this come out? 2005?
You were seven,
I was around seven when this came out.
Uh-huh.
And I was, like, in love with the kid who played
Seth.
Max Thera. Because, here's why. I had to write it down. He was in Catch That Kid in 2004. Then he was in The Pacifier in 2005. And then he was in Nancy Drew in 2007.
Right.
And then he was in Kittredge.
Kittredge!
And American Girl.
That movie was fire.
In 2008.
Yeah.
And
wow, what
so,
a run.
Yeah, so these were all movies that I was watching and he was in as the, like, you know, friendly, nice neighbor. And in this
friendly
one,
neighborhood,
know, the, like,
boy.
Little theater boy who just trying to be happy.
Yeah.
And so I just was like, I had the biggest crush on all his characters. Mm-hmm. And I just thought was really funny when I was watching it now, because I just was like, why did I think that? Especially towards the beginning of the movie. And then I was like, he dyed his hair blonde. Mm-hmm. He was a theater kid. He was clearly gay, like...
Yeah, of course, of
that
course.
That was it.
I mean, that's kind of, I think, like, the quote-unquote hidden message of his character.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very, like, cliche Disney character, like, arc where, like, his dad wanted him to do wrestling, and he's like, you know, I'm different, Dad. I don't want to do wrestling. I want to sing.
Which is so funny to me in a way, because his dad does not particularly come across as like
the wrestling
muscle
type
guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's the guy who sits at the computer and like does nerdy things and develops
tech. Has his kids' names as like his voice activated password.
He sings the Peter Panda dance. So like, I don't know, like he doesn't come across as that kind of character.
Yeah, I agree.
At least in everything that we've been presented about him. So that was kind of felt, like you said, it's very leading. It's a lot of what movies like this would do when they would make queer-coded characters as well. I don't know. It just feels out of place and just like one of those things, you know?
No, I agree. It feels like kind of one of those things where the writers didn't really think about it. They were like, yeah, we'll just make it like his dad wanted him to wrestle because that's just what you do.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really work, I guess, with the character. Trying to think of like other anecdotes. I mean the soundtrack is great. There was the song, the Smash Mouth song, you know, Everyday Superhero. First of all, what a needle drop. And so my grandma had a drum set at her house, and we were living with them for like a year. We lived with them right around the time where I'd be watching this movie. I was like 8. And I loved that one scene, but the song only plays for like 10 seconds. But I loved that song, and I was like, I want to drum to this song. And so I had my grandma find the song, and it took her like weeks. I don't know why it took her so long to find like what the song was. But when she found it, it was very exciting, and I played on the drums to it, probably awfully, but you know, that was that's my big story. And so now I can't, every time that scene comes out, I'm like, wow, what a great song.
It is a good song. The whole soundtrack is, I think, fire.
It is. I mean, and that's probably where most of the, right, like, because they got a Queen song, a Good Charlotte. I mean, the anthem was like one of the bigger songs of like that time period.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, a lot of big songs. So I'm sure they had to pay a bit for that.
Yeah. So I knew someone who used to be one of my youth leaders growing up and when I was in middle school. And she loved this movie mostly because I think she was obsessed with Vin Diesel at the time. But she would do the Peter Panda dance. So we would go on like bus trips and stuff, like quiz trips. And she would, like, go into the median of the road where, like, all the cars could see her like, rest stop breaks. And she would do the Peter Pan dance. I don't know. It was really weird.
That's the most embarrassing thing I could ever think of.
So we can cut that out. But
no, I think that's a great story. And I would love for, if anyone listening knows the Peter Pan dance, just take a video of yourself doing it and send it to secondhandfilmcritics@gmail.com.
You know, if Noah and I lived in the same state,
oh, we would learn it.
We would learn it and perform it. Maybe we'll do a TikTok.
Yeah, should that be like a new TikTok trend? Dude, wait, no. This was the dad was a TikTok influencer.
Legend, yeah.
He made an entire dance.
Feeling low. One thing that really got me about it is that it's really not, like, not on beat at all. Like, you would think that it would be something that would be, like, you could, like, clap on beat to it when they wrote it, but it's just, like,
when feeling low,
lower than the floor, and you feel like you ain't got a chance. Don't also make a move until you're in the group, and do the Peter Panda dance.
Oh man. Also, like, with the big twist where at the end the dance is what gets him through the maze of death. It's not really well timed. Like, he could have died multiple times. Like, it's not like,
yeah,
when was he, like, how does he supposed to know exactly when to step? It's all very time precise.
Like, that's why I'm like, it should be to a beat, you know? Like, it makes more sense.
Like, they should start playing
a
beat in the safe room. Like, start playing like a do-do-do-do-do-do. And you're like, when you're feeling low, do-do-do-lower. Yeah, it should be like a...
Well, yeah, because he's even like, you know, 3 steps forward, 1 step back. And then he just kind of like pauses. And then the wife is like, quick, click a turtle, roll on your back or lie on your back. And so then he like does it, and it's like, is it just waiting for him to do each of these things?
Yes.
Because there's so many pauses in between.
It's like, he's like, wait, what's the next step again?
Roll like a log till you can't roll no more. Like, that line doesn't work either.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's like, this is the best they could come up with, Disney. Come on. No, I think we should definitely bring back the Peter Panda dance. I mean, we have the Backyardigans on TikTok.
Maybe I'll
I think
do a TikTok and we'll see what happens. We'll
yeah,
see
I think we can bring it back.
That's why I said it. We need a trap remix of this. Like, you gotta remix it, and then, and I'll do the vocals, and you make the track, and then we'll post it on TikTok and be like, yeah, so here's what we'll do. You make a mix of this, and I'll send you a vocal track for it once you make the mix, and then you upload the sound, and then I'll duet you doing the dance. With the sound that we made. Or I'll use your sound. Wow.
Right. I think we're going to go viral from this.
I think we should.
I think we really should. Maybe tomorrow I'll make the Peter Pan.
I mean,
dance
it can't be that
dance.
Hard, you know?
No. And I mean, should in doing do we want Vin Diesel's vocal on it, or should we just cut?
Cut his vocal.
So you can basically just do any beat.
Or
you know?
Maybe you could start with his vocal, like the when you're feeling low, lower than the floor, and you feel like you ain't got a chance, and then we'll come
bum,
in with
bum bum.
And then we'll we'll come in with the vocals of don't make a move till you're in the groove. And do the Peter Panda dance.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
TikTok coming to you soon on TikTok. Maybe by the time this is out, we'll have it up and you can go watch it on our TikToks.
Who knows? Who knows? We'll see.
Or maybe
this will never
actually happen.
Or maybe this is a pipe dream. The Peter Panda dance trap remix. Anyway, so the ending, I feel like, I mean, I do like how short this movie is. I think it's pretty much the perfect runtime. Like, this movie shouldn't be any longer than this.
Mm-hmm.
The bit can't really last much longer, but I feel like it just wraps up so quickly. They stop the bad guys, and then they're like, oh, I'm leaving. Oh, maybe not anymore. Bye.
Yeah, like, he's just gonna retire out of nowhere. Like, he's committed to the military, and then all of a sudden he's like, well, they did give us that little backstory of, like, he's been in the military all his life because his dad sent him to military camp and then died and whatever.
There's a big thing with the dads, actually, because, yeah, he has that conversation with Zoe.
Mm-hmm. This is just a big time daddy issues movie.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And you know, the only thing that can quell daddy issues is a pacifier. That was
no comment.
Quite a joke.
No comment. No, it's you're totally right, because it's kind of like they just, you know, the mom comes back, and then like these people just like infiltrate the U.S. government, and then try to steal the nuclear, like, whatever, and then they're just like the random local cops kind of arrest these people, and then the duck bites the guy's balls, and then he kisses the principal.
Kisses
not
Lauren
the duck.
Graham,
the duck doesn't kiss the principal. Vin Diesel kisses the
I
principal.
I wish the duck kissed the principal. Would have been a great ending.
And then they go to Sound of Music. So it's just like, I don't know, the ending is very rushed, and it's just like, oh yeah, we gotta end this movie. What can we do?
Maybe the rush ending will be fixed in the apparent sequel that Vin Diesel announced in 2015, which who knows what's happening with that.
Yeah,
what would that be called?
Be
called the Pacifier 2. I feel like the Pacifier 2 wouldn't be too boring.
Well, the kids would be older, so I don't
Pacifier
really know what the
2,
premise would be.
The Nazis return.
I was trying to think of an alternative to a pacifier, like
the blanket.
The blanket. Let's
the
see.
Bottle.
Vin Diesel reveals that Pacifier 2 is in development.
I don't even know what the plot would be, because, like you said, they'd be much older. So I don't know what they would do. Like, maybe they come back for Ghost, and they're like, we're coming back for it all. And he's been living the suburban lifestyle, and he has to get back in shape to...
Or, here's the plot. He and the principal have kids, and they're, like, you know, at the age of the kids that were in this, because it's been a certain amount of time, I don't know. Mm-hmm, and then... The people break out of jail, and then they come and want to enact revenge, and so he has to protect his kids from the bad guy.
Oh, wow, wow. There'd have to be some kind of,
he
like,
comes out of retirement,
because though.
He's, like, the stay-at-home dad.
But, like, so same thing, though. So he'd have to kind of get back into, like, training, yeah. You know?
And so we get a training montage where he's, like...
A training montage!
Brushes the chips off his belly that is bigger now, and then he's, yep. like, boom, 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 boom! And you see him in the garage, like, doing the Chris Evans... Wrapping the hands and being like, pow, pow, yeah. pow, 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 to the pow, little pow, boxing pow. Bag. Yeah.
We still have a great soundtrack, I think would be a key. And then we would need, like, at least one of the kids to reprise of their role. Like, maybe not the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how many of them are still acting.
Well, the girl, the older girl is definitely, I mean, she
I
was
know
in
that,
the Pitch Perfect movies.
What's his face? Max is still acting because he's in yeah. some, like, military propaganda TV show.
Wow. Went right along the same track as this movie. I know the younger girl isn't doing, like, she only did this and then the Cheaper by the Dozen movies, and I don't think she's done really
wow.
anything else.
Wow, Lulu?
But, I mean, how can you top those three? Like, those are, like, the perfect three.
Maybe we can get the kid back who played Peter.
Hmm. I mean, but that's one. It's like, would they even know it was him? You know? Because would it look like him,
know.
Really?
It's a twins. Twins play.
We
him.
Would need to have Zoe come back because she's the only one that really acts, I think, still. And then they say that Max, well, what's his
Seth.
Name? Seth is acting. You know, maybe he's like a professional, like, theater actor. And he's gay now. And then we have Lulu, who is like a karate trainer person,
or like a stunt double, or
wow, yeah.
She teaches girls now. Maybe she teaches works at an all girls dojo.
Nice. Peter is a TikTok dancer.
I could see it. And then the baby, what was the baby's name?
I don't know.
Tyler.
And so he would be, like, what, 17?
Yeah.
So they could have Tyler be anyone. Maybe he could be there, too, you know?
Yeah.
I like the TikTok dancer idea, I think. I think we could make it.
Yeah, he's, like, an influencer.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Peter Panda. Maybe he's, like, a SoundCloud rapper.
Little panda.
And his raps are, like, in every single... Do the Peter Panda dance. I swear that's the Peter. I swear that's the Peter. That's the Peter Panda dance. Wicka, wicka, wicka word.
At the beginning of every song, he's like, we're getting lower than the floor. And then he goes into his...
Maybe he's a DJ. Maybe that's better.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that fits
yeah,
better.
Be
DJ wannabe rapper, yes. And his DJ name is Peter Panda. So then he's like, this is DJ Peter Panda! And that's when he goes, let's get lower than
everyone,
the
I need
floor!
You to get lower than the floor.
And then, like, he's, like, playing the trap beats, and it's like,
don't make a move till you're in the groove, everyone.
And then he's like, you know, 3 steps forward, 1 step back. And the crowd's like, yeah, 3 steps forward. And she's just like,
one step back.
You know?
I think that's a great idea. And this would be the best. I think we should actually maybe Pacifier 2 will just be about him. Kind of like Night of the Museum 3 did that, where the kid was like a DJ or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, we could just do
and
that.
And then didn't they change the actor in that in Night of the Museum? I feel like I remember the actor change,
yeah.
And I was really disappointed because I also had a crush on that kid when I watched Night in the Museum. I was like,
is
wow.
Is this going to be a recurring theme?
Yes. Yep. Oh, every man. Children's movie, I'll tell you
very
which
nice.
Character it is. We'll make it a new thing because there's one in every single movie. So I'll...
Nice.
For the most part, I'll tell you. Yeah. When we get to Cheaper by the Dozen... I can whip that one out.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
we got a lot
yeah.
of choices there.
And you have a lot of choices, so it changed over the years. So it's like when I was 6, I had a crush on this character, and then it was this character.
Wow. Well, I think that is a good place to start wrapping this one up. any final thoughts on The Pacifier, the 2005 masterpiece by Adam Shankman?
No, I just wish that someone would describe my footsteps as silent like death.
Oh my gosh, back to that. We didn't even talk about her.
Helga?
Yeah, she's not in it enough. You know, it kind of sucks they got rid of her because she like had a good dynamic.
She did come back in the end. She came to the play, was in the audience.
Which was like, how dare you? You bail at the worst time.
I know.
And you come back to reap the rewards.
No, I thought she was funny. I think that whole scene where she's like trying to get out of the house and he's
that's funny.
That's a good choreographed scene. The editing is awful, but it's great. The fight scenes were awful, but also so good at the same time.
Right, same. Yeah, like the ninja scene or whatever in the house with like
I did think
throws,
the
like,
broom move was cool, where he like had the broom and then he looks at it and he twisted it with his feet and it was like...
That's something I would try if I was in that situation
and
then it just
fall.
Wouldn't work.
That's what would happen to me is I would try to do it, but I would wipe myself out. No, I thought her character was good. I thought she was funny. I do think there was maybe some other kind of problematic stuff with the way they represented her character as well.
Yeah, a little bit for sure.
I did think she was a cool character. I thought that her character was fun.
Like if she was in maybe more, they could have had her like actually be like a real character, probably. But because she was in it for so little, it kind of had to just be like the stereotype stuff, which was unfortunate. But like she has some great lines, and she's like, I mean, Vin Diesel just like can't act. I'm sorry. I'm sure in Fast and the Furious he's fun.
Have you seen any of those?
No,
I haven't. Not either. There's like what 10 of them or 9?
Yeah, maybe one day. But yeah, he just can't do this role. I think honestly, he's like the biggest issue with this movie. He just doesn't work for me. I mean, all the actors aren't very good, but I just don't like him at all. I'm sorry.
Well, every single line he delivers is the same exact tone. Like, he delivers every line the same way.
Like, and I just don't believe his connection to the kids.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because there's not, like, enough time, or just he just can't do that kind of acting, which, you know, maybe is a little of both, but... any final thoughts? I know I already said this, but I want to make sure.
I have no final thoughts.
We got to make sure we can say everything we need to about the pacifier.
Those are all my thoughts. All of them.
Go watch it on HBO Max today. It's weird this is on HBO Max.
Well, yeah, because it's a Disney production.
Yeah.
It feels like something that would be good on Disney Plus.
Yeah, like almost have like a new life. You know, there's like people like talking about it online, like, oh my gosh. This was like one of my favorite movies as a kid.
Well, once we do the Peter Panda dance on TikTok,
yes,
it'll be trending on Twitter because everyone will be like, whoa, I remember that movie.
And then everyone will be doing the Peter Panda dance. Mm-hmm. So if you have thoughts on The Pacifier 2005, you can email us at secondhandfilmcritics@gmail.com. And if you do, we will read your comments in the next episode. Maybe not the next episode because we're recording that one tomorrow, but the next episode, we will read your comments on The Pacifier. We'd love to hear them.
You can also find us on social media. Search Secondhand Film Critics on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're there. We post semi-regularly.
Yeah, we try.
We do our best.
Also, look us up anywhere you get your podcasts. Follow us there. If you are on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star rating and review. And share this episode with your friends and anyone you know who is just a pacifier fan. You're a fellow pacifier.
A fellow pacifist.
Oh my gosh, yes. That's perfect. When everyone's like, I'm a pacifist, like, oh yeah, I love that movie. It's great.
It's like, wait, I was talking about not the military propaganda, being anti-war.
It's like the exact opposite. So speaking of military propaganda, what is our next episode?
Our next episode will be the next addition to Summer of Star Wars, where we'll be talking about the original trilogy, movies 4, 5, and 6, featuring what special guests do we have on?
Well, if there was a quadrant and it was queer, this would be them. it's the podcast, The Queer Quadrant. They were on our episode, our second movie tag we did.
Mm-hmm.
What was that in February?
February.
Yeah, February. Perfect. Yeah, which was a great episode. Very excited to have them on and talk all about these iconic films, see how they hold up to today's standards, you know?
Wow.
Exciting stuff. Until next time, I'm Noah.
And I'm Kayla.
And we're your second-hand film critics.
That's the Peter. I swear that's the Peter.
That's the Peter Panda dance.